Last time we were together, we talked about what the church is. What is the church again? The church is the people of God, remember? The church is the people of God the Father, the body and the bride of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit, gathered together for worship. That's right. Here we see the essence. Here we see the center of the church. The church is the people of God the Father, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, gathered together for worship and joined together as a community, the communion of the saints. Welcome to the church. Today we talk about the relationship between the church and the kingdom. We talk about the difference between the church and the kingdom and how these two are related. So, what is the difference between the church and the kingdom, and how are these two related? Maybe I should back up. Maybe I should ask, does any of this even matter? Maybe what you want to ask is, who cares? Who cares if the church is different from the kingdom or if they're exactly the same? Who cares? Does any of this make any difference? Well, yes, it does. Actually, it does, and that's what I hope to preach about this morning. So first of all, some definitions. What is the church again? The church is the people of God the Father, the body of Christ the Son, the temple of the Holy Spirit, gathered together for worship and joined together as the communion of the saints. That's the church. And the kingdom, what's the kingdom? The kingdom is the place where God rules. It's the place where God is pushing and advancing his sovereign rule in Christ. And where is God doing that? Well, everywhere. Which means God's kingdom is everywhere. He rules over all. God rules the weather patterns and the weather systems. He rules the nations. He rules the governments of the earth. And so he is sovereign over politics and education and science and farming and business and industry, family life and marriage. He is sovereign over all of these things in Christ. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Yep, he rules over all. So what's the kingdom? The kingdom is the place where God rules, and where he rules is everywhere. So it's obvious that the church and the kingdom are not exactly the same. God's kingdom is over all, and the church, the gathered community of the triune God, the church is the center. It's the center of the kingdom. So picture it that way. Here's the kingdom, and the church is in the middle. The church is the people and the place where God's sovereign rule is celebrated in worship. Here God's people praise him for his rule over all. And so the unique relationship between the church in the center and the kingdom elsewhere is what we need to settle a bit more this morning. Congregation, what then is the fundamental connection between the church and the kingdom? Or put this way, what is the unique task of the church in relationship to the kingdom? What is the church's responsibility here? What is the church's main duty in regards to the kingdom? We need to talk about that. Let's think about that together. Some people, they might want to say that the church's role in the kingdom is to rule the kingdom. It's to govern. It's to control everything else in the kingdom. The idea is, since the church is in the center of the kingdom, it makes sense that it ought to rule over everything else. Right? I should point out that that's how things used to be.
Once upon a time in Western history?
Sure. In the Middle Ages, the Holy Roman Catholic Church used to rule everything in Western society. Yep, in the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church was the most important institution in society. It basically governed the rest of society. Everything else in the kingdom listened to the church. The family obeyed the church. The schools and universities obeyed the church. Why, even the government obeyed the church. If the king didn't listen to the pope, then the king could lose his job. He could be deposed from his office. That's exactly what happened to a King Henry IV back in 1077 AD. He was deposed until he came to Pope Gregory VII on his bare feet, no less, and begged for forgiveness. The king begged for forgiveness from the pope. Quite the powerful church we had back then in the Middle Ages. And so in the Middle Ages, we had God who made the kingdom with the church in the center to rule everything else. The state, the home, the university, business, labor. I think we all agree that that system we had back then was, well, it didn't work all that well, did it? But it begs the question, again, what is the relationship between the church and the rest? And if the church is not supposed to rule the kingdom, who else is supposed to do it then? Who else is supposed to rule the different spheres of God's kingdom? Some people think that the government should do that. Some people think the government should rule everything else. Some people think that's how the province of Ontario or the country of Canada is run these days. I don't think it's that bad yet. But there have been places where we have seen that kind of scenario. Think of communist Russia. Or think of Nazi Germany. In Nazi Germany, the state, via Adolf Hitler, ran and ruled everything. Hitler ruled the home. Hitler ruled business and labor. Hitler ran the schools and the universities. He also ran, Hitler controlled the church. In Nazi Germany, the church was completely accountable to the state. I think we agree that that system was also very bad. That's why in the Protestant tradition, especially in the Presbyterian and in the Reformed tradition, but in the Catholic tradition now too, for that matter, we have come to the realization that no one particular institution should kind of like rule and govern everything else. No one institution, be it the state or the church or any other institution, should like totally control everything else. And for good reason. How does the old adage go? Absolute power controls absolutely. Absolute authority corrupts absolutely. I think it's true. That's not in the Bible, but it's true nonetheless. So, how did God design the world? How did He design society? How did God design His kingdom? In His kingdom, God designed a number of institutions. And so He made the home, and He made the school, and He designed the business enterprise, the church, and the state. And each one of these spheres has its own unique and limited role to play in God's kingdom. And so in the kingdom, we have the institution of marriage. Marriage is that protected haven where a man and woman can cleave together and become one flesh. Family, which is the outgrowth of that, family is that institution where children may be born and taught to know and to serve the Lord, to quote the marriage form. School is that place where students may be educated. Business is where money and goods and services can be moved around for the blessing of everyone. And government, what is government for? God designed government to uphold public justice. That's the government's job. That's your job according to Romans chapter 13. God didn't design the government to run the world, no, but to catch criminals and maintain decency and good order in society. Its job is to make sure the other spheres are free to do their tasks. You follow? Each sphere has its own unique and limited role to play for the good of God's kingdom, which is over all. Amen. And the church, what is the church's unique role in all of this? The church's role is to be what I call the powerhouse of the kingdom. The church is the powerhouse. The church is what powers up everything else. It's kind of like the battery. It's the power source. It's what fires up everything else. So everything else keeps running. So what is the church again? The church is the people of the triune God gathered for worship. And when God's people worship, they are re-energized. They are built up in the faith through the word and through the sacrament. And built up in the faith, they go and they are a blessing everywhere else in the kingdom. You follow? So, this is life then, now. From Monday to Friday, or from Monday to Saturday, whatever, God's people are busy in the kingdom. They're busy in their families. They're busy in their work. They're busy at school. They're busy in education. They're busy in politics. And then on Sunday, we gather together for worship. We are built up in the faith so that we can go re-energize back into the kingdom. That's why life is like a set of windshield wipers, right? We come in so that we can go out. We come in so that we can go out. We are built up in the faith while we worship so we can go out and serve. We are built up in the faith so we can go out and serve. In doing this, the church is the powerhouse of the kingdom. This is what makes the church then, yeah, it's the center of the kingdom. Not that the church governs or rules all the other institutions. No. Church is where we are built up in the faith so that we may be a salt, so that we may be a light everywhere else in the kingdom. That's how it goes. And so the church then has a very unique role and calling in the kingdom. Our calling is to be the worshiping community. We're not the state. No. Church and state are separate. Not that the church and the state can't have some dialogue. We should, and sometimes we do. I mean, in Canada practices abortion on demand. That's not right. It's unjust. We're not protecting the most vulnerable in society. And so the church has an obligation to speak to the government about that. But that's different than saying that the church runs the state. We don't. We're a worshiping community. We're not the state, and neither are we a school. Some people think that Providence Christian School is a church school, as if the church runs Providence Christian School. Not so. Providence Christian School is its own institution, as it should be. Of course, isn't it obvious? Providence Christian School isn't administered by a pastor. It's administered by a principal. And we should be thankful about that, because
What do I know about mathematics and geography and science? Mr. Bowers knows a lot more about that than I do. And so school is school, the state is the state, the family is the family, and the church is the church. We're at the center of everything, to be sure, but the reason why that is because the church is the powerhouse of the kingdom. Every 7 days, we stop everything, we come in. And energized in our faith, we go out. We do windshield wipers. This is how life is supposed to go. This is so very important. We are the powerhouse of the kingdom. Some people think that we don't really need the church anymore. Some people think that we don't need to go to church. And we can still be a blessing in the kingdom without meeting together. Just let me say, if we do that, we are not going to be energized. We're not going to be empowered. We're going to run out of steam, so to speak. We're going to run out of gas. We're going to lose our faith, and we're going to die. And you just watch. When people don't go to church anymore, it will have consequences for the rest of the kingdom, which is the case right now. In our culture, people are not going to church anymore, and our society is quickly becoming more post-Christian, more pagan all the time. Look where we are at. Marriages are falling apart. Marriage is being redefined. Families are in crisis. And not only are we doing abortions now, now we're doing euthanasia. The list can go on. Where do we stop? The problem is that people aren't going to church. And so we're not being the powerhouse of the kingdom. And so the windshield wipers right now, they're kind of stuck. You follow? It's not working anymore. And it's not good. So people of God, we need the church. Because here is where we grow. Here is where we meet God. Here is where we have the communion of the saints. Here is where we get to grapple with God and we learn about Him. Here is where we learn the tools and the language of the faith. And we learn the difference between the church and the kingdom and how both are important. Where else do we learn this stuff? Where else do we praise God for His sovereignty over our souls and God's sovereignty over everything? We need this. We need the church. We need to be the powerhouse of the kingdom. Hebrews 10, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. You know, it's interesting. Today, some Christians, seeing that society is basically falling apart now and that the church is not faring a whole lot better anymore, there are many Christians today that are suggesting that maybe it's time that we just put all the focus on the church. Maybe it's time to ignore the rest of the kingdom and let's just focus on the church. It's something of a new fad now among some evangelical Christians in North America today. In his book, The Benedict Option, Rod Dreher makes his case for this. His thesis, let's just withdraw from the world and let's just build up the church. Many Christians are buying into this today. But congregation, this is not the answer either. The church, to be sure, is the apple of God's eye. But we don't exist just to serve ourselves. All belongs to God. His kingdom is everywhere. And so the windshield wipers cannot be stuck just down here.
No, they've got to keep moving. It's got to keep moving. The church is the powerhouse of the kingdom. And so it's important that the Christian church in our culture today behaves accordingly. We got to behave accordingly. We've got to be the powerhouse of the kingdom. I'm not convinced we're always doing that. You know, the church in our culture today is often very self-centered. We're rather weak. Let's admit it. You know, so many churches in our culture, they're stuck on trivial little debates about what songs we like to sing in church. I like the traditional hymns. No, I like the contemporary songs. Do we hear ourselves? Churches actually split over these things. Is this really what the Christian church in North America ought to be splitting over? I'm not saying that what we sing in church isn't important. Of course it is. But we cannot be held hostage by these typical first world problems. That's what those things are. Here's the thing. We have a world out there that is going to hell in a handbasket. That is what the church ought to be bothered about. Does this bother you? So may we all be reminded, church is not about getting your warm fuzzies. It's not about making me feel good about myself. You know, some people say, I don't get anything out of church. Well, too bad. It's not about you. It's about God coming to his people through his word, calling us to repentance, calling us to faith in Christ, so that we can be transformed right here, so that we can get out there and do something. So that we apply salt to the stench and the decay that's going on. So that we let our light shine in the darkness. So that in the workplace and every other place, we don't swear as much. We don't gossip as much. We don't hate as much. But instead, we display the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We gather here so that we meet Christ head on, so that others can meet him too. This is what the church is for in the kingdom. The church is the powerhouse of the kingdom. A final word from Matthew chapter 28. I suppose in some ways it could be argued that this passage has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here today. It doesn't explicitly mention the word church or the kingdom or powerhouse. But look at this passage closely with me, if you will. It has everything to do with what I'm talking about. Very familiar passage. Note the context. In Matthew 28, Jesus is about to ascend up into heaven. He's already suffered. He has died. He has paid for our sin. He has been raised from the dead. He has won the victory. And so he's about to ascend up into heaven to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In verse 18, Jesus makes his bold confession. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm the king. Congregation, Jesus is the king. Not Justin Trudeau, not Donald Trump, and not Vladimir Putin. All authority is in the hands of Jesus. Jesus is the king and the Lord of Lords. In verse 19, Jesus addresses the church. He gives us our mandate. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples, Jesus says. What's a disciple? A disciple is basically a follower of Jesus Christ. It's someone who knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus says,
go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Basically, draw them into the church, baptize them, and teach them. Teach them everything I've commanded you. Now, what Jesus teaches us here is not just for here, it's for every area of life. For it's in the home that we learn to obey our parents. It's in the hospice and the hospital that we do not murder. It's in our marriages that we remain faithful. It's in the workplace that we must not steal. It's in the courtroom that we do not bear false witness against our neighbor. And it's in front of the computer screen that we do not covet our neighbor's house or our neighbor's wife. This stuff we can keep to ourselves. No, the whole kingdom needs this. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of the whole planet, baptizing them into his church, teaching them everything I've commanded you. We go, we gather them into the church, and we send them out for the kingdom. Not that this is easy. It ain't easy. Not for anybody. In fact, in these last days, things might even get a bit more tough. But we have this assurance. We have Christ's promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so in our passage, we have the three C's. We have a confession, a command, and a comfort. In our passage, Jesus gives a confession. All authority is mine. In our passage, Jesus gives his command to us. Go, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything, everywhere. And he gives his comfort. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. May we be a church that serves the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all. May we be the powerhouse of the kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is now on the throne in heaven. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. May we praise you. We thank you for the church in the center of all of this, the place where we recognize your authority. We recognize your rule, and we praise you for it. And we pray, Father, that we may not focus just on ourselves, but on the broader kingdom. That we can get out there and we may be that salt in this decaying world. That we may be a light in all the different spheres of life. Father, we pray for Providence Christian School as it also looks at all subjects in the light of your word. We pray, Father, for places like Redeemer University College. We thank you, Father, for this university that looks at all subjects again in the light of your word. We pray, Father, that we may let our light shine in politics and in labor, in leisure, and what we do behind the computer. Father, we pray that you bless the church. May we be the powerhouse of the kingdom. We pray, Father, that we may examine our hearts today to see in what way we are connected ultimately to you. May we know you, and may we love you, and may we serve you, and may we be built up. May we be energized. May we be rejuvenated as we go out and we let our light shine for the coming of your kingdom. Jesus Christ is Lord. We praise you. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hymn in response is hymn number 521 in the Psalter hymnal, God of the Prophets.